Begin Perikabas, the 14th and final chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Eved Laws of Mourning, Sefer Shu'ot, Book of Judges, which in this perik, concluding this whole idea about, as we spoke about in the previous perik, of comforting the mourners, which there's an obligation of doing acts of kindness with our own selves, including that of comforting the mourners, and also discussing the halachas of the honor and the dignity one has to give to a grave, and regarding the one who passed away. As Rambam gets halacha regarding this halacha of gemilas chasadim, doing kindness with one's body. Mitzvah saseh shel devrim. There's a rabbinic positive commandment, levak achayim, to visit the sick, l'nachem aveilim, which we're talking about here in these parakim, to comfort the mourners, l'hoitz ameis, and to take out the dead to be buried, also from our theme, l'hachnas hakala, and to bring in the bride to the chuppah, to the wedding canopy, l'labas ha'orchem, and to escort the guest out of one's home, l'sa'asik b'chol tzorcha k'vur, and to be engaged in all the needs of the burial, which is l'asis halakasif, to carry him on the shoulder, b'leil l'vandav, and to walk in front of him, b'lisbet, and to eulogize, b'lachber, and to dig, b'likber, and to bury. And so too regarding the rejoicing, making happy that of the bride and the groom, and to assist him in all their needs. These are the acts of kindness one does with his own body, with his own self, where there's no limit to this mitzvah. Now, all these specific commandments, all rabbinic, but they're all in the general category of the mitzvah, to love your friend as yourself. Everything that you want, that others should do for you, you do them, to your brother, that's your brother with Torah and mitzvahs. Now, Halacha Beis tells us the great mitzvah of escorting someone. The reward for escorting a guest out is greater than them all. This is the statute that was engraved out by Avram Avinu, in the way of kindness that he conducted himself in it. Which machol ivri drachim umashka isam, he would give the passerways to eat and to give them to drink, umalavo isam, and he would also escort them out. Now greater is even the bringing in of the guests, than receiving the divine presence. Shemak says in the pasuk in Vayar v'hinei shlosha anashim, it says that he saw and there were three men and he ran towards them and he left the shchina to go receive the guests. Now escorting them out is greater than that of bringing them in. And the sage said, whoever does not escort a person out, as if he spilled blood. Halacha Gimel. You actually force people to escort, just like we force for charity. And actually the courts would institute shluchim, agents, to escort people that were traveling from one place to another place. If they were negligent and lazy in this, the pasuk considers it as if they spilled blood because of the fact that he's alone on the road and he could get killed. Now, even someone who escorts his friend, even just four amas, Yeshla Sachar Harba has a great reward. Now, how much is the measure of escorting that a person's obligated in? So it depends. Harav Latam, the teacher to his student, when he's escorting his student, is Adi Burishal Ir. It's up until the extension of the city, which for a period of 70 and a little bit amas is considered the extension of the city, which only from there do you start measuring the 2,000 amas of the Tchum. That's where he takes his student to. A man to his friend, is at Tchum Shabbos, is further out, is the 2,000 amas that's beyond the city limits. But Tamil Rav, and the student to his teacher, when he's escorting his Rebbe, that's ad parsa, that's up until 4 mil, because a mil is a shir of Tchum Shabbos, and that's 4 times that amount. Now, if he was his primary teacher, ad shalosh parsa is up until 3 parsa, which is 3 times that of to a regular Rebbe. Halacha Dalet, regarding another mitzvah, that of Bikur Chaylam. Bikur Chaylam, mitzvah alakal. Visiting the sick is a mitzvah on everybody. I feel like God will mavakar esakot, and even a great person has to visit a small person. Umavakin harbe pom bayayim, and to visit many times in one day. V'chol ha'mayseh meshubach, and the more one does this mitzvah, is more praiseworthy. Umavach le'tirach, as long as it doesn't overexert the sick person. V'chol mavakar esakot, when one visits a sick person, kilo notel chelik mechol, it's as if he took a portion of his illness, the hikim olav, and he lessened it from the sick person. Whoever does not visit, kilo shef gadam, as if he spilled blood, because the person is going to die now because he's not having any visitors. Halacha hey, im mavakin es achayla, ilamim shlisha b'hala. One does not visit, the person became sick only from day 3 and onwards. But vim kavetz olav achayla v'hichpid, but let's say the sickness just jumped on him and he got really intense, then mavakin es miyad, then you visit him right away. So to ve'im mevakin es achel, you don't visit a sick person, not in the first 3 hours of the day, but not in the last 3 hours of the day. Because that's when they're busy with the needs of the sick person, and it's not an appropriate time to visit. So Devei Mevakin, you don't visit Loichil Ma'ayim, not someone who has intestinal illnesses, where there it's actually embarrassing to the person. And Loichil Ma'ayim, not illness with the eye. But not someone who has something, a headache. Because actually visiting them is actually overwhelming for the person when he has guests, when he has visitors. Now, if someone comes to visit a sick person, like Yeshiv, you shouldn't sit. Not on a bed, not on a chair, not on a bench, not in any high place. But neither should he be above the head of the sick person. Rather, he cloaks himself. He sits beneath the head of the sick person because the divine presence rests above the head of a sick person, and therefore he actually has to cloak himself in the awe of the divine presence, like someone who's sitting in awe and doesn't look around. He beseeches mercy for the person, and then he leaves. Halacha Zenkit is regarding the order of what's preferable between these mitzvahs. Yerali says, the Rambam, it appears to me, Shenachamas Aveilim, comforting the mourners, is Koyin Lebikachim, comes before visiting a sick person. Because comforting the mourners is Gemilas Chesed Imachayim V'Emanesim. It's doing an act of kindness to the living and with the dead. Because it's showing kindness to the one who passed away, who his respect and soul is over there, and so too for the living, that is the mourner, versus Bikachim is only for the living. Halacha Ches, Mishoy Levon Meis V'Kal, if someone had an option to be busy with someone who passed away, or a bride who's getting married, Manich Esakala, he leaves the bride, Masaskim Ames, and he engages himself with the one who passed away. Chino Emes Sotra says, Apasim Kelis, Leiv Chachamim, the heart of the wise ones is Beveis Evil is in the house of mourning, Begoyim, etc., where the Pasuk there ends, but Leiv Kisilim Beveis Simcha, whereas the heart of the fools are in the house of rejoicing. If a dead person, however, and a bride encountered each other on the road, a very narrow road, and one could only go through, you actually remove the dead person to let the kala, to let the bride go through, because ultimately the dignity of the living comes before the dignity of the one who passed away. And now either one of them, a kala or mace, even you move them away when if king's coming, because the honor of the king, it takes precedence over the two of them. Halachatas. Mevatlan Tamu Torah. We stop the learning of Torah, Loitzah Zames, to take out a dead person to be buried, Ulech Naskan, to bring in the bride to the Chuppah. But when we say this, B'shein L'Kol Tzarka, when they don't have enough people to engage with those situations. But if there's enough people, in Mevatlan, then you don't stop the learning of Torah. Now, B'chol She'im Asken B'Torah, but if someone's not engaged in learning, then Chayovin L'Saskimai, then they do have an obligation to be busy with the Kala and with the Mes, even if there's enough people involved. Now, if someone passed away in the city, every member of the city is forbidden to do work until they bury that person. But if there is someone that's busy taking care of the dead person's needs, like we have, the cities have what's called a Chevra Kadisha, a holy group that are in charge, then other people are permitted to do their work. However, Talmudic scholar passed away. But even if they had with him 600,000 people, you stopped the learning of Torah to take him out to his burial. But if there were 600,000, then you don't have to stop your learning. But if he taught others Torah, there's no measurement. Rather, everyone stops their learning to take him out to be buried. Look at Beis, how this relates to non-Jews. So Kovrin Mesei Goyim. We bury the dead of the Gentiles, and we actually comfort their mourners, and we visit their sick, because it weighs a peace not to create any animosity. Luchid Gimel, the conduct that's appropriate in a cemetery. So, Bate Hakavaras Asum Bahano. Cemeteries are forbidden for a person to have benefit from. Ketzer Haso. You don't eat in the cemetery. You don't drink in them. You don't do work over there. You don't read Chumash over there. You don't learn over there. Culture, the rule is, you don't take benefit and pleasure from there. Neither do you act lightheaded in the cemetery. A person should not be walking 4 amas within a grave, having tefillin on his arm, and the Torah scroll on his arm, and he shouldn't be davening over there, because it's what's called leg l'rush. It's mocking these poor ones who cannot do mitzvahs right now because they passed away. But if you're more than 4 amas away, mutter, then that's permitted. Regarding certain prohibitions because of disgrace to the one who's dead, if someone is transporting the bones of a dead person from one place to another place, you shouldn't be putting it in some type of a leather bag, and to put on his donkey and to ride on them, because that's acting, treating the bones in this disrespectful way. But now listen, but if let's say he was afraid of thieves and because of bandits, and that's why he's sitting on them, then it would be permitted. Now, you're not allowed to remove, exhume a dead body from one grave to another grave. Even if you're taking from a disgraceful grave to a more honorable one. But if it was in his field, from someone else's field, then you could clear it out. Even from a beautiful grave to a disgraceful one, because the person wants to be in his ancestral field to be buried with his fathers. You cannot bury one dead person on top of another dead person, and neither two dead people together as one. Because it's disgraceful. However, a baby that sleeps with its mother, Nikbarima gets buried with her. Halachat Zayin continues regarding the prohibition of having benefit that's connected to a dead person. The actual dust of the grave, that's not forbidden to have benefit. Because ground that was made with the creation of the world, that does not become forbidden. But let's say it was a grave that was a structure, then that structure does become forbidden. If someone builds a grave for a dead person, it doesn't become forbidden, actually comes by a mess, until they actually bring the dead person inside of it. But even if they just put in a stillborn, still that's considered a dead person, that now the grave becomes forbidden to have benefit. Nefesh, which is the structure over a grave, that was made for a living person, meaning when this living person dies, he's going to be buried over there. But for some behemes, they actually put a dead person in over there. And they add on another row to the structure for the purposes of this one who is dead, who they put in now. So then, even if they remove that dead person, everything's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it. But from Hikra Satisavis, if they recognize the extra row that was added for this dead person, so you remove that extra row, then the rest can be permitted again because that one that was made for is still alive, was never yet put in over there, although they put a dead person, but that extra row that was made for him was removed. Now, however, if let's say this grave, this structure of the grave was made for someone who is already dead, then once the dead person was put in over there, Nesser becomes forbidden, and Afa Bishop, even if he was removed from there because you have the preparation and you have the action as one, therefore becomes forbidden forever. Someone builds a grave for his father, and he goes and buries him in some other grave. So that son is not allowed to bury some other person there forever. And this grave is forbidden for him to have benefit. They cover it off because of the dignity of his father. That was the grave that he designated for his father. A dead person is totally to have any benefit from at all. Except for his hair, which you're allowed to have benefit from it, and it's not considered part of his body. When old burial shrouds, they're all asumana, they're all forbidden to have benefit from. But regarding vessels that were prepared to be burial shrouds, and they were just prepared, there's no prohibition to have a benefit from it. And I feel like Arik Baged Lemes, even if they had woven a garment for the dead person, Lainessa does not become forbidden. Actually, Giba Mita Nikverzima until it touches the coffin, the bed that he's going to be buried with, because Shein Hazmona, he says. Preparation itself does not make something forbidden until it's actually used. Alacha Chav Beis, regarding the prohibition, however, of destroying things unnecessarily. Kala Kalim Shazirkin Alames, all garments that they throw on the dead person, Alamita Nikverzima, on the bed that he's going to be buried with, Asturm Banna, they're all forbidden to have benefit. Why is it forbidden? Because shouldn't get confused with burial shrouds. That we shouldn't come to permit burial shrouds themselves, which are forbidden. So even all these other things that they would throw in pain and mourning, throw all these different items, they also become forbidden to have benefit. Now, halacha of gimel, hayavi imoy mizarkin kil mechamas malmeisav. Let's say someone's father or mother is throwing all their items in their fury on this person, their child, chas shalom lelein, that passed away. And now they're all going to become forbidden. So mitzvah lachem latzilim. It's a mitzvah on others to save those items that they don't go on the bed. But the megiula mita nekvarzimai. But if it touched already the bed that he's going to be buried with, imatzin lasmi. You don't save him again because, like we said, they become forbidden once it touches that coffin. Halacha chavdal melamdim es adam. Now we teach a person shloye chablim. They shouldn't be a destroyer. And should not ruin these vessels. V'yashlichim lachabal and to throw it to being destroyed. Like we said, if you're going to put onto the coffin in your anguish, it's going to have to be buried with him. And it's going to go to waste. Mutav lesitim lanim, better give it to poor people while yeshlichim l'rima v'salei, and don't throw it to maggots and to worms. B'cholamar b'kel al-mesim, whoever increases the amount of vessels or garments that they put on the dead person, ivi b'lois hashkes, is violating the negative prohibition of not destroying because it's going to waste. And what's the point? Locha chafhei continues regarding what happens when a king or a nasi pass away. So melech shemes, the king that dies, Akrin Sus, they uproot, meaning they tear out the ligaments that's on the hooves of the horse, that the king used to ride on. And the egla choice of Meshechas Bakar and Shahi Yeshab, by notes regarding the calf that used to pull the wagon that he would sit on, Menashe Parse Seha, they would tear out the hoof, Menar Kuvel Mata, specifically from the knee down, which is only Makam Shein Oisar Setrefa, a place that would not make it into a mortal defect, because it's forbidden to make an animal into a trefa, and that above the knee makes it into an animal that cannot survive. But they would rip it out because no one's allowed to ride his horse after this king, so we want to make sure that's the case, so we tear out the heel. Umeshivin yeshiva al-kivrei shebayam, they also make a yeshiva, a learning station on his grave for 7 days. Shemak says in the pasuk, dibra yam and beis, b'chavet osalei b'maisei, that an honor they made for him when he passed away, zeh sheshiva yeshiva al-kivrei, that means to say that they settled a yeshiva on his grave. That's regarding a king. And b'nasei shemais, regarding the head of the Sanhedrin, that's called the Rosh Yeshiva, they don't stop his yeshiva from learning more than a period of 30 days. But more than that now. Now regarding a king or a Rosh Yeshiva that passed away, they have the ability to burn his bed and all his personal utensils. It's not considered like this omens that the Amor would do, which is forbidden to practice. Neither is considered as destroying, which is baltash, is unnecessarily, because it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, "B'shalom Thomas, you're going to die in peace." And in the burnings of your previous fathers, Yisrael Lach, they're going to burn for you. That's, in other words, a way of covet, so that's not considered as wasting. We concluded the laws of mourning with Siyad Shmaya. We should come to a time that there is no more mourning, and God wipes away the tears from the entire world.